And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by educator Lori Fisher and realtor Daryl Garrison.
If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I should be knocking on the door any day, but I'm here right now to do the program. So welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a very happy Saturday morning. I know there's a little rain outside, but all the more reason to stay inside and listen to our program, which we think you will enjoy. We are a group quiz program. So that means we want you to be part of the group. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you, if you're shy, you don't want to call, but we're very nice people. But if you don't want to call, you can email, and that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So I'll spell that out. MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, by the way. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today, also at kalw.org and many other places, but please start with KALW. That would be appreciated. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And of course, Halloween is coming up, so you may well hear some Halloween questions today as we all prepare to, my pumpkin exploded, but if I'll have to go out and get another one.
It's a euphemism, right?
No, and it really exploded. And so I have to get another pumpkin, but I think there were squirrels on the inside of it or something. But anyway, as you carve your pumpkins, you know, look forward to that. All right, here we go. Right after the show, Daryl Garrison is going to start the demolition of his house, making way for a new ballroom. Debbie, his wife, finding out about it right now. But since you have a roof leak, it's very convenient to do all that work at the same time.
That's right.
That's his excuse.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Earlier in the week, Lori Fisher was stymied at the Halloween costume store and just couldn't find a Lori Fisher costume. As usual, he will just have to go as himself.
Will. And in Alameda, Halloween came early for our moderator, Dana Rodriguez. People dressed up like ICE agents and National Guard, but all we gave them were Snickers, chuckles, and of course, circus peanuts. Good choices, yeah. We're coming to your house for the chuckles.
Yeah. All right, that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Daryl Garrison.
So, yeah, I have all Halloween-adjacent questions today. I'm going to give you a single clue to a spooky Halloween-adjacent film. You tell me the film. These are all well-known films. For example, if I said Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, the answer would be Ghostbusters. So here are six. Number one, Alfred Fichet, Le Commissaire. Number two, Marie Samuels. Number three, U.S. Outpost 31. Number four, Percepto, Scream for Your Lives. Number five, The Sunken Place. And number six, Pazuzu. Number one, Alfred Fichet, Le Commissaire. Number two, Marie Samuels. Number three, U.S. Outpost 31. Number four, Percepto, Scream for Your Lives. Number five, The Sunken Place. And number six, Pazuzu.
Pazuzu.
Wow. Well, I don't know any. I have a guess at one. Dana, I imagine you have some.
Well, go ahead if you have a guess.
The one that flashed to me was number one. Is that perchance House of Wax?
No, it isn't. The right era, but not House of Wax.
All right. Vincent Price, maybe? All
No.
right.
Well, I know one for sure. I think I know it for sure. Marie Samuels is the alias of Marion Crane in Psycho.
That's exactly right. When she signs in the motel.
Yes. And would you mind, well, you're going to do it anyway, but just go over the other ones once more.
Sure. Alfred Fichet, Le Commissaire. U.S. Outpost 31. Percepto, Scream for Your Lives. The Sunken Place. Pazuzu.
So I this is just a guess, but US Outpost 31, is that from The Thing?
It is
Oh,
1982's The
nice.
Thing. Very
Yeah. That sounds right. Very good.
good.
And no bells, huh? We never got the bell fixed.
Don't know why anybody can't hear.
Damien, you can't hear the bell,
Ding
right?
ding. Yeah.
Front. Anyway. Okay.
We have
Anyway, Laura, you go ahead too.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to be Halloween adjacent as well. Reader's Digest put out a list of the most popular costumes in every year since about 1950. So I'm focusing on costumes that are based on television characters. So these are characters on TV, all fictional. There are two from the 1950s, there's one from the 60s, and two from the 1970s. So I want to know which costumes were most popular based on TV shows in the 50s, two of them, 60s, one of them, 70s, two of them, and in one of the two shows in the 70s, it's more than one character.
I'm gonna hope that for the 60s it's Batman.
It is not.
Oh.
That's a great guess. And he's on there in a different era for one of the movies. But yeah, I was surprised. I don't know exactly how they measured this,
Okay.
but it's very reasonable.
Run over that premise once more.
Yeah, the premise is that the most popular Halloween costumes in certain years were based on television characters. You know, sometimes it's movies, sometimes it's fictional characters. These are TV characters, more or less invented for TV. And so two of them in the 50s, two of the most popular costumes in the 50s were on TV shows. One in the 60s, not Batman, and two in the 70s. And one of the two was more than one person, kind of a group. It would be as if everybody and all in the family were a costume. But
I
that's
think one in the 50s or 60s, it must be Daniel Boone or Davy
close.
Crockett.
It's Davy Crockett. Yeah,
Okay.
Belle and Davy Crockett. Yeah, 1955 for Davy Crockett in the
Yeah, I
50s.
know that was very
Yeah,
big.
the coonskin hat or whatever it was. Yeah,
Yeah.
very good on that. So that's the right kind of thinking.
What about the Lone Ranger?
Lone Ranger didn't make it to the top.
And was there anything from Star Trek?
No, not in the lists that I had, and you would think there would be, but not. And
What
again,
about for the 70s, Scooby-Doo?
not Scooby-Doo. They're not, and all of these are not. None of these are animated. I left off the
Think of
animated
as
ones.
Oh,
a
okay.
okay.
All right, leave that out,
All
and
right.
we'll let folks guess on that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sparky and Maddie here in Connecticut on a nice little drive getting lost around my neighborhood. How are you all doing?
All right.
Good to hear from you.
Hey, John.
All right. I don't have any guesses to what you're offering, but I have a question for all of you. Recently, Dr. Demento wrapped up his radio show, and 2 weeks ago, he put together his final show in which he went through all of the most requested tunes. So what was number one, his number one most requested song?
I've got a couple guesses on that. My first one would be Another One Rides the Bus.
Incorrect.
And then my second one would be They're Coming to Take Me Away.
It made the top 10, but it wasn't number one.
Right.
How about Monster Mash?
Yeah.
No, it was kind of lower. Yeah, top 40, but yeah, just looking for number one, mainly because I don't have a list on me.
Is there a genre for this song that you could tell us?
I think it was just a regular, straight-ahead song, but it was done by a duo, if it's any help to you.
A duo. Was that Dead Puppies?
No, not Dead Puppies.
Was it the Smothers Brothers?
No.
How about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
Nope. No, it wasn't. Here's the other clue. One was on television in the 60s.
The duo was on television?
Not just one half of the duo was on television in the 60s.
As a actor in a ongoing show?
Yes, he was.
But he was primarily
a child actor, in fact.
Child actor. Interesting.
So Ronnie Howard, I'm trying to think of who.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. Interesting. And if you told us the child actor.
Bill Mumy?
Yeah.
What was that song he did?
What was that song he did?
I don't know.
You mean the guy from Lost in Space?
Yeah. Oh, I know this. Oh.
Huh. I don't know.
It is something like a Dead Puppies kind of a song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's.
I'm drawing a blank.
In fact, they shared the name of the duo had the same name.
Hmm. Oh, like Dawn and Dawn kind of thing. Oh, I'm forgetting.
Exactly.
I know this. I'm forgetting.
All right, go ahead and tell us.
I'll tell you. It's Fish Heads by Barnes and Barnes.
It's Roly Poly Fish Heads. Oh,
Fish Heads, eat them up. Yum. Okay, I'm done. So we'll talk to you all later.
All right. Thank you very much.
And who were the artists who did Fish Heads? I missed that.
Oh, it had a funny name. Yeah, Bill Mumy was one. I'll think of the other one.
Okay.
All right. Leave that out. And no, not leave it out. Throw it away. And
it's Fish Heads.
You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panels today, that would be Daryl Garrison, a realtor in Brentwood, the Leaky Roof, and Lori Fisher, who lives in Berkeley, teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, my turn. Let me do a couple questions, and we'll get to another call. Okay, what literary / movie character and what film character are both the top dog and cat costumes this Halloween? Literary / movie character and what film character are both the top dog and cat costumes this Halloween?
I'm not good on my dog and cat characters. Literally, are they new?
You're talking about a human dressing up as a dog or a dog wearing a costume?
A dog wearing a costume.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. So your dog or cat wearing a costume that is inspired by a literary movie character or a film character.
I know that one of the ones that I keep seeing pop up are dogs wearing the Chucky costume.
Oh. Really?
Not Chucky?
No, not Chucky.
He's not literary enough, maybe. And is the literary character that I think you said, no, relatively new? Or is it classic, you know, Frankenstein?
No, they're both been around for a couple of decades, at least. So what literary movie character and what film character are both the top dog and cat costumes or costumes for your dog and cat this Halloween? Bring that out. And let's see. Only Only one Academy Award-winning actor has ever played Frankenstein's monster in a feature film. Who is that?
Didn't De Niro play him?
Yes, De Niro, Robert De Niro. Very good. In 1994, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. All right. However, three Academy Award-winning actors have played Dracula in feature films. Who are the three Academy Award-winning actors who have played Dracula in a feature film of Dracula?
It's not a vampire, but actually Dracula.
No, no, they played Dracula, Dracula himself, Count Dracula.
Gary Oldman.
Yes, Gary Oldman is one. Very good. Okay, that's Bram Stoker's Dracula, 1992. Who are the other two actors? And my final question here is, this is Halloween candy, most popular Halloween candies in the United States. What I want are the 10 most popular Halloween candies that are single word names. What are the 10 most popular Halloween candies that are single word names in the United States?
Snickers.
That's one.
Skittles.
Skittles?
Yeah.
Yes, that's two. I'll give you each one more guess if you want.
Starburst.
Starburst also.
How about Twizzlers?
Twizzlers also. All right. So we have Snickers, Starburst, Twizzlers, and Skittles. All right. What are the others? So I'm looking for the most popular single name candies in the United States this Halloween. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So I'll be very brief, two little questions. Number one question, you heard in Morning Edition, KQED-FM this morning, that doomsday clock, the closest ever. So if we do, in fact, and I hope not, end up with a worldwide nuclear war, how many people will die immediately? I'll give you a choice, 28%, 58%, or 98%. Have an answer? 28,
go ahead, 58,
or 98?
Yeah, go ahead, Dana.
58.
98%. And 2% will die within days from radiation poisoning. Very scary. Einstein said that the mouse never invented a mousetrap. Nuclear bombs are a mousetrap of humanity. Okay, second question very quickly. There's only one race, that's the human race, as I'm leaving, you know, all of the classifications. However, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, what origin part of the word white classified as? What people from this part of the world are classified as white? Europe is one of it. What is the other part? Two parts.
You mean white or Caucasian? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'd like to use the word white. Caucasian is more broad. So what, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, Well, Europe. What is the other two parts? What really one part? Can you guess?
So I'm just not quite sure I understand. So what you're looking for where it is majority white?
No. Yeah, the origin.
The origin.
Yeah, people living in America are classified as white. I mean, what? So Europe is one. What is the other part? Two parts.
I don't know. Australia, Canada.
Well, that's why. See, I always like to fight racism. I always like to fight, religious hatred and all that. That's my plan in this life of living 84 years. Okay, actually, it is the Middle East and North Africa. People get darker there because the sun is very hot, very hot. And typical people from the Middle East are Fenador. You know, you don't see him. John Fiono. Mississippi governor, I forget his name, many, many other people. And they somehow hide the identity to some extent. Some of you change the name. Yes, North Africa and the Middle East, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, are classified as white. And that is beyond. And unfortunately, that is used politically to go on tour. So hopefully, let's all pray we don't go to World War 3, where 98% of people will die immediately, and 2% will die within days. And these people just donate money to KLAW when it is, in my opinion, one of the best stations in the world. As far as the morning edition, yes, they mentioned not use the word doomsday clock, but they said one of them in the door of nuclear war. Thank you again, and sorry I spoke very, very fast. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. If you'd like to give us a call, and we do hope you do, because we do enjoy talking to you, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, how many times does the lion on turn his head, maybe it's a her head, on the MGM? And what does the saying under the lion mean?
The saying under the lion means art for art's sake.
Yes.
And how many times does the lion turn its head? It can't be more than twice. I think it turns its head each time it roars. So maybe twice. I don't know. Maybe.
I was going with three.
Three?
I don't know.
It's a trick question. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes three.
There's three different versions. Is that it?
I guess so. Yeah. Oh.
Nice.
And I was trying to think, would two be for drama and one be for comedy and three be for something else? But I watched so many, but I still couldn't come up with that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah. I'm sure it changed over the years.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Daryl, you go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, listen, I had to go through the alphabet a couple times. So that group with Bill Mumy and Fishes, that was Barnes and Barnes. All right.
I remember. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. I have five opening lines from spooky Halloween adjacent novels. They are all well known. Number one, once upon a time, not so long ago, a monster came to the small town of Castle Rock, Maine. Number two, you will rejoice to hear that no disaster has accompanied the commencement of an enterprise which you have regarded with such evil forebodings. Number three, this is a 1962 novel. First of all, it was October, a rare month for boys. Number four, this is an 1898 novel. The story had held us round the fire, sufficiently breathless. And number five, 124 was spiteful.
All right, you better go over that once more.
Sure. Number one, once upon a time, not so long ago, a monster came to the small town of Castle Rock, Maine. Number two, you will rejoice to hear that no disaster has accompanied the commencement of an enterprise which you have regarded with such evil forebodings. Number three, 1962. First of all, it was October, a rare month for boys. Number four, 1898. The story had held us round the fire, sufficiently breathless. And number five, 124 was spiteful.
Mm-hmm. The monster that came to Castle Rock, Maine is, I think that's Cujo.
It is Cujo. Very good. Nice. Ding, ding.
I knew it was Stephen King because of Maine.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Is the second one, The Rejoice, is that Frankenstein?
It is Frankenstein. Very good.
All right. And I'm trying to think of the 124. I have to work on that.
Yeah. The last one is futuristic?
No, it's more recent than the other ones, though, for sure.
Could you read that once more?
Sure. Here are the three that are missing. First, 1962. First of all, it was October, a rare month for boys. Next one, 1898. The story had held us round the fire, sufficiently breathless. And the more recent one, 124 was spiteful.
The 1898 one, that's around the time Dracula was written. Anything to do with Dracula?
It's not Dracula.
Okay.
It's the right era.
Mm-hmm.
1898. Don't know. Leave it out.
Okay. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hey, Rita.
And I have a few Halloween adjacent questions.
Good.
The first one, this dates back to SCTV, the wonderful Second City TV spoof show. And I'm wondering if anybody can tell me what their show within a show that showed scary movies that weren't very scary, what that was.
Yeah, Count Floyd.
That's right.
Right. Count that Floyd. That it was hosted by Count Floyd, but what was the name of the show?
Monster Shore Horror Theater.
It sure is. And
nice work.
I used to watch SCTV all the time.
Oh, it was the best. And what was odd about the fact that Count Floyd howled like a werewolf?
Well, he was in a Dracula costume.
Right, he was a vampire, but he howled like a werewolf.
Right.
Anyway, okay. Now a little closer to home here. Halloween, formal Halloween festivities in the Castro District, some say, began when a children's Halloween festival was held with a costume contest and ice cream eating contest. Can you tell me what year that was that started and who or what sponsored the Halloween festival?
So, the sponsorship, would this have been, a well-known gay person in the Castro? For if I said Harvey Milk, was he the sponsor of the first one?
No, I'm going to give you a bigger hint here in that it is an entity rather than an individual person. And it's for anybody who has spent any time there, kind of in San Francisco, you'll know this name.
An entity.
Well, it's a retail establishment.
Oh, okay. In the Castro.
How about Kohl's Hardware?
No, it is a place where you would go to get ready for Halloween, or could
Kohl's
go.
Hardware.
Their Goodwill store or Buffalo Exchange or something like that?
Mm.
No, this is a place that, it's pretty well known, has a wide variety of things for sale, including things to make Halloween costumes from.
So is this store still there?
It sure is.
Mm.
I'm sure they're busy this month.
It should be Kohl Hardware.
Yeah. Kohl Hardware sells costumes too.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Cliff's Variety.
Oh, Cliff's Variety. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Nice. Yeah.
Good question.
And any guess about what year that first festival was held?
I guess it would be in the 70s, maybe the mid 70s or something.
No.
I'm gonna go way back. How about the 30s?
That's a little too far back, but
Daryl get it.
1955.
Perfect.
It was 1948.
Great year.
So Cliff's got the ball rolling back in 48. And do I have time for one more question about movies related to The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
All right, very quick. Go ahead.
Okay. The 49 animated Disney film, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, who narrated that?
Bing Crosby.
Very well known. Yes.
Bing Crosby, yeah.
That's right.
Nice.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and happy Halloween.
All right. Happy Halloween to you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call if you like. We'd love to talk to you if you have a question or answer for us. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Lori, I'm going to let you do a quick question here.
All right. This is pretty quick. It's related to the movie E.T., and it's got a couple of parts. There's a Halloween scene in E.T. What is E.T.'s costume? And during the course of the film, E.T. eats a candy and kind of falls in love with it. What candy was it? And how did it come to be that he ate that candy and not some other candy?
I know this one.
Oh, good.
So, So E.T. Was a ghost.
He was, yeah.
And he's walking along and he runs into Yoda, which is kind of funny.
I know.
And he eats Reese's Pieces.
Correct.
Because M&M's passed on the chance to be in the movie.
That's half of it. And then Hershey's ended up paying $1 million placement fee to put it in the movie. And Spielberg said, I'll go with that. Yeah. So excellent. Yeah. He went in as a ghost and he ate Reese's Pieces. And the Hershey company, which owned Reese's Pieces, I think, paid $1 million when they used to do product placement. Well, that was quick. Three bells that you didn't hear. Nice work.
All right. Is it Hershey? Oh, okay. I guess I thought Reese's Pieces was Mars and Mary or something, but maybe.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I guess it, you could obviously be right.
That's what my little right. thing said. Anyway, very good.
And okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Tamara again calling from Richmond. I'm the one who called and said I was sad that you weren't on Sunday evenings anymore. Afternoon. This is my sort of public service announcement question, which doesn't apply to Halloween. What three states celebrate Diwali as a state holiday?
Is Michigan one?
No.
Okay.
Is Minnesota?
Nope.
Illinois.
No, come on, people.
Should we get out of the Midwest?
Yeah.
All right.
Look around you.
California.
Well, that's one.
All right. Good hint. Should we look up?
Look east.
Okay. Yeah. How about Connecticut?
Yay! One more.
All right.
This is kind of a, dark horse. You wouldn't expect this. I didn't expect this.
Well, no, it's another eastern state because I do remember reading something about this. I just can't remember.
Okay, Pennsylvania.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's quickly run through the questions that we have that have not been answered yet. Daryl, start with you.
Name these Halloween-adjacent movies by these clues. Percepto, Scream for Your Lives. The Sunken Place. Pazuzu. And then opening lines of novels.
Wait, Daryl, didn't the very first one, the Alfred Fiché?
Oh, I'm sorry. Alfred Fiché, Le Commissaire.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Five opening lines, 1962. First of all, it was October, a rare month for boys. 1898 novel. The story had held us round the fire, sufficiently breathless. And number five, 124 was spiteful.
And I am looking for the most popular Halloween costumes that were based on television characters. And there were two in the 1950s, and Daryl got Davy Crockett, so we're looking for one more. One in the 60s and two in the 70s. And one of the two in the 70s, it's not one person. It's a group of three people kind of always depicted together, including in the title of the show.
Oh, you mean like Mod Squad?
It could be like Mod Squad, and it is not, but that's exactly what it's like.
The Three Stooges.
Not the Three Stooges. Not in the 70s. Yeah, but those
and,
are.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking for what literary / movie character and what film character are both the top dog and cat costumes this Halloween. So these are costumes for your dog and cat. They are not dog and cat costumes. So you understand what I mean. And let's see. Three Academy Award winning actors have played Dracula in feature films. So Daryl got one, and that was Gary Oldman in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's right.
Who are the other two? One was quite recent. And let's see. I'm looking for the 10 most popular single name candies for Halloween in the U.S. for Halloween. Single name candies. So far we have Snickers and Starburst and Twizzlers and Skittles.
In the movie question about actors who won, did they win Academy Awards or just nominated?
No, they all won Academy Awards.
So Daryl, this is for you, a combo question. Did Willem Dafoe win an Oscar, and wasn't he in a, didn't he play Dracula?
He did not play Dracula. He played
More of a Frankenstein thing.
He played the actor who was in Nosferatu, which is a version of Dracula, but he has not won Best Actor for that.
Okay, and Interview with a Vampire, that probably doesn't have Dracula in it either.
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait, is it Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage, four.
That was recent.
So just 2 years ago. Oh, I'll give it to you. It was for Renfield.
That's a goofy movie.
Yeah, it was goofy. Well, I should say, looking at our emails here, Robert, and this applies to you, Daryl. Robert Wiener, one of our longtime listeners, said Percepto is from The Tingler.
That was a promo for The Tingler, 1959. Very good.
Yes.
It was on TV the other night.
So very good. And I believe it's even my turn here, so I'm going to give you a question. Let's see. I'm going to give you two candy questions, but they're very short. The first is, this candy was named because the manufacturer failed to make them round. This candy was named because the manufacturer failed to make them round.
Like Tootsie Roll?
Yeah, I mean, you understand the question.
So there's a shape in the name of the candy?
No, there isn't a shape in the name of the candy.
Okay. But it got named because it wasn't round.
It was named because the manufacturer failed to make them round as the manufacturer had first intended. Yes.
Hershey Kisses?
No, not that. That's also a good guess.
Candy corn?
No. And the second one is, this candy was named after an ice cream store in Colorado. This candy was named after an ice cream store in Colorado.
Klondike bar.
No. That's Klondike's cool. in Canada.
Right.
Or Alaska or whatever it is.
And I don't think Dana would count it as a candy. He's very fussy about designations.
Yeah, very fussy about that. Anybody who comes to my house on Halloween knows I only give out the good candy.
No Klondike bars.
No. I don't give out, any candy that I don't like, that I personally would not eat.
Your peppermint patty, then.
I would not give that up. All right, so just once more.
All right.
The first question was, is this candy is named because the manufacturer failed to make them round? And the second question is, this candy was named after an ice cream store in Colorado. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Is Frank Langella the other Dracula?
He Academy did play Award Dracula, winner? But he's not won an Academy Award, so.
Okay. I thought maybe he did for Frost Nixon, but I guess not. Or Christopher Plummer?
No.
No? Okay. And it's not George Hamilton.
Could have been.
Okay, let's see. Single word Halloween candies. How about Twix?
Yes, Twix.
Yay. And Dum Dums?
Not Dum Dums.
Oh, shoot. And the failed to make round candy, is that Rolo?
It is not Rolo.
Okay. And Daryl, the sunken place is from Get Out.
It is from Get Out, 2017. Very good.
Okay. And then I got a couple of questions. Fish Heads, which Sparky and Maddie had earlier, their music video was directed by a famous actor. Do you know who that was?
Hmm.
Not known for directing at all.
It's a weird video. No.
How far back does that go?
That's like 82?
Yeah, I think 1980, I think.
Hmm.
But yeah, that.
Huh. No, we don't know.
Okay, and this actor who's is one half of a famous doppelganger of actor, or two actors who are very often confused, kind of like Tilda Swinton, Cate Blanchett, that kind of thing.
In the early 80s.
If that helps.
It might.
Is this a man or a woman?
It's a man.
Okay.
And do we associate him with
a number of years ago?
Do we associate him with offbeat kind of, funny, satirical, wacky things like this?
No, not really. No, he does often do comic stuff, but he was a good actor in some very, very big famous movies.
No.
I can't think of any other hints that wouldn't give it away. So if I said Bill, what would that?
Bill Murray? No.
Bill Pullman?
No, who's the other one?
Bill.
Who's not Bill Pullman?
I mean, not Bill Pullman. It's the one that he's always getting confused with Bill Pullman.
Right. Aliens? A Simple Plan?
Yeah. Well, I can't think of it. I'm sorry.
Me neither.
Weird Science? No. Bill Paxton.
All right. Okay.
That is
okay. And then one other quick question. I was researching the word of the year last year, which was brain rot. And according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what famous work was the first use of the term brain rot?
So it's fairly recent, isn't it?
It the first recorded use was in the 1850s.
Whoa. So it's not Frankenstein, is it?
No, and it's not a horror work, and actually not a fictional work.
Oh, 1850.
You mean like Grey's Anatomy?
I read about this because it came up when the word was announced. It's American, isn't it?
It is American.
Is it Thoreau?
It is Thoreau. It is Walden. Yeah.
Is it Walden? I wasn't sure about that part.
It is. Yeah. He talks about brain rot being, that in England they're, he's lamenting the lack of intellectual discourse and saying that while England is fighting against the potato rot, nobody's fighting against brain rot.
Some things never change.
Essentially is what he's saying. That's right. Yeah, some things get worse over time, don't they? All right. Yeah. Thanks. Great show as always. Happy Halloween. Bye.
Thank you very much.
You too.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
And hi, it's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi.
Hey
there.
Hi, guys.
All right, we got all sorts of random answers littering the kitchen table,
yeah.
All right, so you first.
What do I have? I'm wondering if one of the Halloween candies, one word that's left might be nerds.
Yes, nerds is one.
Nice. My son loves those.
Yay, ding.
What else? We made our own dough.
We need you. That one we heard.
All right, then.
Hey, we're available anytime.
And faulty candy shape.
Oh, the faulty candy is milk duds.
The candy.
Not round candy, because they're
right,
duds.
Those are called milk. Yes, those are milk duds.
Great.
Very
good. Never bad.
Nasty.
I am wondering if the French one, the
Alfred Fiché,
is that diabolique?
It is. The investigator of the murder in Diabolique. Very good.
Nice work.
All right.
And my other thing that makes me look smart is that I think the month for boys, October was a whatever that is.
Yeah.
Is Ray Bradbury's Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Exactly right. Very good.
Which one is that?
Science of a
the 1962 novel. First of all, it was October, a rare month for boys. Something Wicked This Way Comes.
I read everything, yeah. Ray Bradbury.
That is still a very disturbing book. Recommended highly for Halloween. Read it to your children. They won't sleep.
I just pricking so, my thumb.
How about the story that held us? Is that the time machine?
No.
The 1898 one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
No, you're in the right era, but no. No,
all right.
Sorry.
And how about the group of characters, TV characters that are Halloween costumes? You want to do that one or me?
No, you, because is it
the Flintstones?
It is not the Flintstones. It's not animated, and I'll give you a hint. It's three women.
Oh,
who?
That's not correct.
From the '60s, you said.
The three women are from the '70s.
Should know this.
All right, well...
Three women. Right. Okay, I'm going to think about it.
Yeah, we're not going to belabor the point. The dog costume, I'm only guessing this because I actually saw one last weekend at a block party with a children's costume contest. Is Baby Shark possibly one?
Well, Shark is in the top five, but it's not the one I'm looking for.
Oh, well.
It wouldn't be like something horrible like Pennywise, would it?
No, it's not. It's they're sort of beloved kind of creatures.
How about Labubu? Right. Are any of them Labubus?
No.
Okay.
I'm telling you, we think alike.
They haven't been around long enough, maybe.
Elephant and Piggy. I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
We could guess forever. So in our tiny bit of time remaining, I've got a Halloween adjacent. Music question.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh God, it's Charlie's Angels.
That's it. It is Charlie's Angels. Give yourself a bell. Yes.
See, all I have to do is change the subject, and her mind kicks into. All right, she's good. She's good.
Three bells for that one.
Very good. Three bells. Okay. So the Beatles. Let's talk about Beatles songs. A question about Beatles songs and Halloween. The Beatles used the word "dead" in their lyrics. In 10 songs, can you give me three of them?
I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man.
Run for your life. Okay. That's one.
Here's my bell.
That's one. There's one serial killer.
She said, I know what it's like to be dead. She said, she said.
Yes, she said.
Wow. Nice.
Isn't Rocky Raccoon one of them?
Nope.
Okay.
Going through them all.
Maybe I'll start giving you the lines and you can tell me what songs they came from. They might as well be dead.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Boy, that sounds familiar.
Or dripping from a dead dog's eye.
I am the walrus.
Yes. And then that's three. I won't belabor it, but a ballad of John and Yoko. Poor boy, when you're dead, you don't take nothing with you but your soul. Maxwell Silver Hammer.
Yeah.
Bang, bang. Girl, will she still believe it when he's dead?
Dead, yeah.
And for no one, you don't believe her when she says her love is dead. In my life, some are dead and some are living.
Oh, my God, how do I know?
Yeah, nice. And then George had one in the list called Love You Too. I think it's on Revolver. Love me all you can before I'm a dead old man. Okay.
And John, isn't there dead in John and Yoko, ballad of John and Yoko?
He said that one.
Yeah, you don't take nothing with you but yourself. Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That went by too quickly. Good question.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Feel free to give us a call. We have a few minutes left in the show. We'll take you if we can get you. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. My question is geography and history.
All right.
And so the question is, it's very scary. The name, proper pronunciation of the Doomsday Glacier what sea does it fall into, and how often does that happen?
I don't know what that is.
So do you want the name of the...
Say it again.
But what caught the... what's called the Doomsday Glacier.
Right.
What continent is it in?
I think that's in the Antarctic, isn't it?
Yes. Ding. You see one of those little bells by your microphone. Ding. Yes. In the Antarctic. Ding.
Yes. Okay.
How do you pronounce it?
Oh, now you have to come up with a name.
And there are multiple pronunciations. One.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't think of the name.
The indigenous name, the Antarctic indigenous name for it is.
I think there's the English. I wouldn't know the indigenous name. I think the English name is.
There is. Go ahead.
There's. Is it Thwaites or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. And the indigenous name is a joke because there are no mammals in Antarctica. There is no such thing. But what sea does it fall into, and how often?
What sea is it?
All right, a clue is the Arctic Sea as the same first syllable. What body of water separates Russia and the United States?
The Bering Strait.
Bering Straits.
Right. That's the same first syllable. The Thwaites Glacier falls into the Bering what sea? And it was for a German explorer.
The only two seas I know in Antarctica are the Ross Sea and the, which is the big one, and the Amundsen Sea.
Right. Those are big. This is a recognized sea.
Yeah.
First word is Bering. Bering what? To
Bering
German.
Sea.
The German house.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Beringhausen.
Oh, okay. All right.
Explored that bay, and it's called the Beringhausen Sea. And how often does the Thwaites Glacier slide into the Beringhausen Sea as part of the glacial cycle, ice ages, which is 90,000 years of ice age, 10,000 years of temperate. 90 plus 10 is
100.
How many years?
100.
Good, James.
Give me a bell.
How long has it been since the last time it happened?
I know it's melting faster than they thought.
How about 90 years ago?
No, it's close, a little more.
A little more?
90 years ago when the last ice age, then you have the temperate period, which we're ending now.
Yeah, don't know.
Nice round number. It's 100.
Okay.
The Thwaites Glacier slides into the Beringhausen Sea every 100,000 years, and it has been 100,000 years.
Wow. That's scary.
Happy Halloween.
If that's not thank scary, you very much. Appreciate it.
You're not getting it.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Oh, yes, it's you.
Oh, awesome. All right. This is Aiden in NOPA. Following up on someone earlier who asked about the MGM lion, do you know how many animals were used to make the sound of the MGM lion's roar?
Wow.
Yeah, I know it was I don't know how many, but I know it was a combination of animal noises that they put together. And I think lion was one, wasn't it?
Lion is one of them.
How many different animals? Is that what you want?
Yes.
How about three? Just a guess.
You've overshot it slightly.
All right.
How many? What else would it be? I'm trying to think what other animals would they be besides?
Were the others also felines, like tiger?
Yes.
Okay.
That is actually the other one. It's a tiger. There were two.
Okay. So two tigers and a lion? Was that it?
It was a tiger and a lion that they put together because they didn't think the lion sounded intense enough on its own.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, I've got a better one for you then. So there were three animals used to make the sound of the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Ooh,
do you know what those three animals are?
So no T-Rexes were used in that sound making, I'm pretty sure.
How about...
weren't available.
Elephant?
Baby elephant is one of them, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
More land animal. So how about, I don't think it would be a
one of them animal. Is practically a dinosaur.
Practically a dinosaur. That's interesting hint.
You mean like an alligator or a crocodile?
Alligator's correct.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
Did we say tiger?
We didn't.
We did, but that is the third one. Tiger, correct.
Okay, good. All right.
That's great.
All right, good.
And I've got one bonus one if you have time for it.
All right, very quickly.
Very quickly. All right. You'll never get it. But I'll just tell you that they use the sound of tortoises mating to be the velociraptors. There's your fun trivia for the day.
Of course they did.
Everybody knows that. Great question.
Yeah. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your questions. Bye-bye. And next call. One more call? No? All right, we're being told no. All right. And I guess it's time to clean up then. So, Daryl, what do we got?
Sure. So the 1898 novel, The Story Had Held Us Round the Fire, Sufficiently Breathless. That was The Turn of the Screw. And the more recent novel, 124 Was Spiteful. That was Beloved by Toni Morrison.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought of that as a Halloween, but fair enough.
It's a haunted house.
Yeah, it is.
It's got a ghost. Yeah. All right. And then Pazuzu, that was the demon in The Exorcist.
Okay.
I should have known that. All right. Costumes based on television characters. We got Davy Crockett in the 50s. We miss Zorro. Zorro was very popular in 1958. In the 60s, it was Morticia Adams out of the Adams family. Sandra got Charlie's Angels. The one we're missing is Marsha Brady of the Brady Bunch in 1973. Apparently was the most costumed TV character. And that's all that I have for today.
All right. What literary movie character / movie character and what film character are both the top dog and cat costumes this Halloween? And that is the Grinch and the Ewok. And Ewok. And the three Academy Award-winning actors who played Dracula in feature films, we got Gary Oldman, Nicolas Cage. The third was David Niven, who played in Old Dracula, 1974. And what candy was named after an ice cream store in Colorado? That was Jolly Rancher. And the most popular single name candies in the U.S. for Halloween this year, and I'll just give you the whole list: Snickers, Twix, Starburst, Mounds, Butterfingers, Twizzlers, Skittles, Nerds, Dots, and Lemonhead. So there you go. So if you're calling, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panelists today. That would be Daryl Garrison, realtor from Brentwood, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian Dean Miner, handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great Halloween, everybody. And please join us next Saturday. Take care. Bye-bye.